Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Hey folks, Nicole here. We usually leave it to Mark to record these preambles, but I've noticed he's been mildly abusing this power. This is what happens when you record a whole season of content ahead of time. The two of us had such a blast recording season one of Nevermind the Music, and we're gearing up for season two. Subscribe to our show, and hey, maybe you even have an elder millennial nerd in your life that loves music composition and psychology as much as us. Share a favorite episode with them and help us spread the word. Also, feel free to rate and review this podcast or certain episodes so we know what you'd like to hear more of in the future. Look at me using my preamble power for good. $20, says Mark's going to chime in here and tell you that you have to rate and review us. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Little known fact about C sharp, also B flat.
False. hang on. You can do this. No, we've done this. Hi, I'm Mark.
Hey, I'm Nicole.
And this is Nevermind the Music. So, Dua Lipa, Levitating.
I got you, moonlight, you're my starlight. I need you all night, come on dance with me, I'm levitating you.
Thoughts?
It's the song of the summer of one summer recently, last summer.
Summer of 2020?
Mm-hmm. No.
2020, this song came out in 2020. This song actually came out in October. I think I remember another episode where we were talking about a summer jam that turned out to be recorded in February. So this just follows in our tradition. Feels like a summer song, though.
It does.
It's got that lighthearted, you might say, levitating kind of feeling to it.
Some people would say that.
So this was a big hit. So I'm not surprised that it would stick around. It hit number 2, which for Dua Lipa is her highest charting tune. Don't Start Now equaling it, also hitting 2.
Oh, I don't think I know that song. I bet you I do, though.
Don't show up, don't come out, don't start caring about me now, walk away.
You know this one?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, of course you do.
I'm not an idiot, Mark.
Well, okay. I wasn't saying you were an idiot. I love Don't Start Now. It might actually be even
Was Don't Start Now Dua Lipa's like breakout song?
This is her second album. These are both from her second album, Future Nostalgia. She definitely got a fair amount of buzz on the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Her first album is the self-titled album, but this one definitely had the highest chart performance. We are talking, though, about Levitating, which comes from her second album, once again, Future Nostalgia, released 2020. This is written by Dua Lipa, Clarence Coffey Jr., Sarah Hudson, and Kaz.
Oh.
So another team effort. This one, despite it only hitting number 2, 41 weeks in the top 10. Do you know which female artist was longer in the top 10?
Probably Taylor Swift.
Nobody.
Nobody?
Dua Lipa, for Levitating, has the most consecutive weeks in the top 10, which is pretty cool. Anyways, a few things to talk about this song. I'm going to obviously dive into music stuff, looking forward to the brain and mind stuff. But have you heard the different versions of this song?
No.
Did you track the different versions of this song? So I don't have samples of all of them, but the main one, we're going to be talking mostly about the album track, which sort of became the main single because of controversy. So this is a regular version, the sort of pop new disco style.
I got you, moonlight, you're my starlight, I need you.
That's mostly what most people would have heard, but there are two other really prominent versions. One of them has instead of the second verse, it has a rap by DaBaby, which is the one that, it's the first like single one that might have been possibly the one you were hearing a few years ago.
Da Baby.
Well, he was called Baby Jesus, and then he changed it due to, I guess, making some people annoyed by that.
Yeah.
But then Dua Lipa wanted to distance herself from him because he made a bunch of loony comments against people with HIV and AIDS.
Like what?
Oh, gosh. I'd have to look into it again, but something like at a show, any of you, you know, raise your hands if you don't have AIDS. You're like, he basically...
He AIDS shamed people?
He AIDS shamed people. I think exactly that. I don't know the context of it, but the context was Dua Lipa distanced herself and they removed like a lot of the Spotify playlists that were pumping this song.
Wow.
Removed that sort of single version with a music video and everything and put back in the album version that we're going to be listening to.
Jesus would have never AIDS shamed people.
Especially not Baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus couldn't even talk.
There is also another version with vocals from Madonna and Missy Elliott.
Ooh.
And remixed by the Blessed Madonna, who's a DJ, which is very like electro EDM forward instead of this version. It's worth checking out. I should say we're going to be listening to the original album version, but all the stuff I'm talking about, the melody stuff, applies to all of them. Part of what is so cool about this song, it's the blend of the old and the new that's really, if you listen to a lot of the songs, including Don't Start Now, that's part of this concept behind future nostalgia, right? So the producer, Kaz in particular, he was using some old synths. There's an old Roland synth that we hear for that cool vocal sound at the beginning, that fake voice sound. And that with this sort of 70s disco feel gives us this cool mix with some more modern synths in the blend too, plus the old style beat, some of the old sounds. What I wanted to talk about really was the melody, but I think it's worth talking about the process, the way this song is constructed. I feel like the process the songwriters went through to write this song and to conceive of it has specific musical results. I don't know if you can normally hear that, but like if, I don't know, take a guitar solo in a song, in a pop song. Did the guitarist improvise that solo? Meaning, did they just make it up on the spot? Or did they sit and write it out and figure out every note? You can sometimes hear a musical quality based on those two processes, right?
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I always wonder when I listen to music, like how much was made up on the fly and how much thought went into it. And if they re-record it, do they go back and listen to the original recording to try to recreate improvisation?
Sure.
You know, they play it live, do they take liberties with, is this like in their head, the improvised part of the song that they can go nuts with? I'll always think of that when I'm listening to music, when I'm like seeing live music.
Or like, do you improvise a solo and then when you go to play it live, you learn it note for note so you can play as good as you did that day?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, these are interesting questions. I'm not sure. I mean, we're not talking about guitar solos here, but specifically, I think the process informs the way the song is constructed. So apparently they had this beat. I think Kaz mostly is responsible for it. And the writing team sat around singing against it. And Dua Lipa had a voice memo open on her phone and was just singing a bunch of little sounds. And to me, the phrase structure of this song, and I'll define that in a second, but the phrase structure seems to be put together as if it's little building blocks. So a musical phrase, think of a musical phrase as like a sentence, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a melody, but a part of the melody that makes one complete idea or a complete part of an idea.
Yeah, like row, row, row your boat.
I would say row, row, row your boat gently down the stream is a phrase.
Sure.
Merrily, 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 life is but a dream is a second phrase, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that phrase answers the first phrase. We could talk more about phrase structure another time, but the way the phrases of this song are constructed, which we're going to be talking about melody in that regard, feels like they had little melodic hooks, little ideas they liked, and they sort of just arranged them in a cool order. So to that question of, oh, is something improvised or is it planned out? I feel like maybe both. I feel like there's some cool, I'm levitating, that was recorded in a voice memo, and then they stuck that in a bunch of different places, almost like you're a kid building with Duplos or Legos or something like that. You never know where the red block is going to go. It doesn't have to go in the same spot every time.
And does the producer usually put those building blocks together, or who's in charge of manipulating all these little pieces to make a song work?
That's a great question. And I don't know the answer in this case. You hear both. I mean, I've heard stories of the recording process of Sublime's tune, What I Got, where basically Brad Noel was just jamming on the song. And then that night, when the band was all sleeping, probably the producer cut it up and made a lot of what we consider that song, right? But I think with a group of four songwriters like this, there was probably a little more, okay, let's talk through what we got and building it. I don't think it was just late at night copy pasting in Pro Tools.
I love how you say Brad Noel too, and not like Bradley Noel.
Bradley, is he Brad? He's Bradley.
He's a Bradley.
You're right.
I mean, to you, he might be Brad. I don't know. You're from SoCal, so
I'm
maybe
from SoCal,
you, like,
but
know him.
But I never met him, sadly. Mm-hmm. Bradley Noel. You're right. Bradley Noel. Thank you.
Brad.
I just made him too much of a dude. He's too much of a bro.
He was kind
now.
Of a bro, a I Brad. Think. He was sick. He was a sick guy, but a good musician.
Rest
I guess.
In peace. Maybe we can talk about Sublime sometime soon. So
that's the song of the summer right there. Like the all of it.
Despite probably being recorded in January, as we'll find out. Okay, so anyways, instead of getting a long flowing melody that has sort of a beginning and the end that feels organic, I would like to posit that in this song, we get these little pieces that go together. And it's almost as if they're mixed up and scattered in the sky, levitating like satellites. Have
almost.
I gone too far? I'm doing an arm thing too, listeners. I'm
He's
doing
really
an arm thing.
Getting really poetic over here.
I think I've crossed. I think I've gone too much. So part of what makes this work is the chord progression just repeats the entire time. So that lets you take a melody that might sound good as a part of the verse and maybe stick it in the chorus too. And it still sounds good kind of no matter where it goes. Right. So that's a songwriting trick. And it does feel like Pro Tools is a digital audio workstation that people use to record music, lets you move things around and copy. And I think music is different because of that technology. It doesn't cost you hundreds of dollars every time you want to make an edit on your tape, right?
It's crazy to think how they even made music without Pro Tools or a computer.
Oh my God.
Did they like actually cut it and like stitch it together? Like how?
So when we talk about making cuts in tape.
Yeah, it's like actually you cut it and glue it together.
Tape it. Often together.
Tape.
But you would make actual literal cuts, and those cuts essentially are permanent. I mean, you can tape it back together, but you record over something, it's gone. Not to get into a sidetrack here, but maybe this needs to get one. As much as people want to be annoyed about auto-tune and annoyed about digital stuff that lets you, you know, make something in your basement and kind of do things, sort of cheat by moving the beat so it's perfectly in time, the truth is we're just saving a lot of time and a lot of money because you would have needed to spend thousands of dollars to record a single track. Whereas now, might as well just record 20 takes of the vocal and pick the best pieces. And maybe if you auto-tune it a little bit, because that's what the audience wants to hear, at least you don't have to spend an entire afternoon recording just a single vocal track that's going to cost you $1,000 to record.
And I'll argue with the word cheat. Like, is it cheating? I think it's not cheating. It's just, it is using the tools we have to create music. Just like at the time, right. You would use scissors and effing tape.
Which is cheating, right? Because
which is cheating. Because
you should just do it just perfectly the first time.
Right. And maybe people said that then. So I think that we can reframe how we look at it. Like, instead of cheating, we're using these tools to our benefit.
And you could overuse them. You could overproduce an album back in the 70s, too.
Sure. Right.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
In any case, let's start listening to some music. Let's get some examples. So the first of these little cells, so forgive me if this gets to the point where I need to put a chart up or something.
Okay.
I'm thinking of each of these little melodic pieces as a cell or a module. Does that sound too fancy?
No, I like the Lego analogy, but okay. I'm following you. A cell, module, all
you could
of it.
Say this is a modular construction.
Oh.
Or these are melodic cells that are put together, or we could call them blocks, whatever we want to use as our terminology. And I'm going to just give them letters. We could give them cute team names if you want, but I'm going to just say this one is cell A, and this we get in the verse. This one actually is more or less a complete melodic phrase.
Okay. If you want to run away with me, I know a galaxy
and I could take you for a ride. Yeah?
Yeah.
So
great.
We got a descending line moving down in B minor. This is the longest of our little cells. And then it repeats, right? On different words.
Got it.
We then get a contrasting one, which goes the opposite direction.
Glitter in the sky, glitter in my eyes, shining just the way I like.
We could call this almost a retrograde, which is a fancy music theory term for the melody going backwards. This time it starts low and goes up. I'm going to call this cell B. So elegant, as always.
I love it.
Do you remember what happens next in the melody?
It goes into the chorus.
We have one more phrase of this. So the verse is phrase one, phrase one, phrase two, phrase one, or cell A, A, B, A.
Cool.
And these are more complete melodic phrases, so there's nothing surprising here. That A, A, B, A form is extremely common in choruses, verses, also entire songs are formed that way. It's called 32-bar form. We could talk about it another time, but nothing earth-shattering here at all. Then things start to get a little more broken up and blocky when we get to this pre-chorus. So let's listen to the complete pre-chorus section here.
You want me, I want you, baby. My sugar boo, I'm levitating. The Milky Way, we're renegading. Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I hear that as two phrases, but each one is broken up into tiny little cellular fragments. I call these all block C. Right? So we got verses A and B. Here's block C. Three versions of it. First one. Second one. Third one. And they just alternate.
Yeah.
There's a specific combination of them. It's like number one, number two, number three, number three, number three, number two.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter. It's different versions of the ba-da-ba-up.
Sure.
And then we end with this. On the yeah, yeah, yeahs. So once again, we have this pre-chorus, and what is it? It's an arrangement of these cells in a weird order. C, 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 with D at the end. Listen again.
You want me, I want you, baby. My sugar boo, I'm levitating. The Milky Way, we're renegading. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
It's kind of unrelated to what you're nerding out about right now. But do you know Dua Lipa's nationality?
She's British, but her family's Albanian.
Because this has like Albanian vibes to it. Like when you hear it on the piano, it sounds like it's from that region of the world to me.
Southeastern Europe?
Yeah, like it has kind of like a vibe to it, like just the way the notes are.
I don't know much about Balkan music or Albanian music. That's interesting. So this is pretty straightforwardly natural minor. What this is this is modal. So I say that this is in B minor, but it's actually in B Aeolian mode. Real minor uses some other notes that we can talk about in another episode upcoming. But true minor with a capital M, minor keys, are more associated with Central, Northern, and Western Europe. So like France, England, Germany, also Italy. But the sort of classical version of minor, this is a little bit mellower than that, and it is associated a lot of times with folk styles of music. So
yeah, maybe
possibly
that's what I'm hearing.
You're hearing a kind of version of minor that feels older.
Yes, it feels folky.
Folky, despite this melody really not being folky.
Right.
But there's also, shout out to another episode. This is also using some pentatonic aspects. Oh. It's not purely pentatonic. There's this nice C sharp in the way, but some of these little figures, ba-da-ba-da-da, that's a pentatonic moment right there. That I'm levitating uses a pentatonic scale, which, as we talked about in our Miley Cyrus episode, is really old, going back probably thousands of years.
Little known fact about C sharp, also B flat.
False. hang on. You can do this note. No, we've done this. C sharp means high C,
yes.
Which means it's low what?
D.
D, yes. Okay. C sharp, D flat. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. I'll get it one day.
Listeners, we just got to stay optimistic about getting stuff. And I'll learn the brain stuff eventually. So anyways, we've got all these. I hope this section is where we can start feeling what I'm talking about. That it's a bunch of C's smashed together with weird mix-ups because of the words, I think. And then this, yeah, seven C's in a row.
Wow.
Plus a D.
Like the seven C's.
That's right. I think that's what they're implying. When I was levitating in space. Never mind.
Okay. Gosh.
So, don't lose track of C, because C is going to come back a bunch more in this song. Because we finally got to get to the hook, right? Let's listen again. I got you, moonlight, you're my starlight. I need you all night, come on dance with me, I'm levitating you. You already see where I'm going with this? Give me one of the cells you hear.
I can hear it in the background, that like descending, I don't remember what you called it. The ooh, when she goes down, but like a guy in the background singing it.
Oh, that's like a vocoder. It's like a synth voice.
Yeah.
Back of vocal. Yeah. So that's interesting, because I wasn't even thinking about that one. Let me listen to that again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually our same tune as the I'm Levitating,
yeah.
Which is C2, I think, the second version of C.
Wow.
But you're hearing even in just Dua's
yeah.
part. What are you hearing?
Just like a new repeated motif.
Right. Is there anything we've already heard, though?
Well, at the end, she goes, I'm levitating.
Yeah, I'm levitating is that C. The other ones are new, but they're so simple. Moonlight, starlight, na 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 na. Just repeating. We'll call that one E.
Sure.
And so there's a couple different versions of E.
It's a lot to keep track of.
You know, but E is fundamentally just moonlight, right? Starlight, etc. And then we get this cool one that's kind of a mix of E and the levitating. But basically, we've got this new tiny little cell that then is mixed in with the I'm levitating, which is the one we've heard already before. So this is not a totally foreign thing with other pop songs. Oftentimes, things are constructed piecemeal, whether it's deliberately, like maybe with a voice memo or Pro Tools or not. It seems that small fragments are common. So here's an example from 1980. Do you know Devo?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Whip It?
Oh, I sure do.
Right. So tiny melodic fragments here with slight variation and different riffs coming in. But these aren't long melodies. And it feels like they're sort of just, again, like a block stuck in a few different places.
They were so weird.
Yeah.
With the hats.
I mean, amazing. Yeah, the flower pot hats in that particular video. Yeah. So I think the fact that there's multiple vocalists in that song helps, right? Because you kind of associate them each with a different fragment. Here's Nirvana. We'll probably come back to Nirvana soon. This is On a Plane, 1991. Similar thing. We have some different melodies that seem to kind of come in and out. Some of them repeat, some of them change. Then you get some that you heard earlier, happen again, etc.
So good.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm really starting to like look back or think back of the catalog of music in my brain to see what other songs use this structure. And I feel like a lot of them do. Like a lot of my favorite songs do.
Because we're also not talking about a either or thing, right?
Mm.
A lot of times somebody might be composing organically, but they're thinking in such small fragments and arranging them. It's not necessarily deliberately like, oh, I'm going to put cell C into cell D's place and then put them backwards the next time, it might be sort of intuitively happening, but some degree of this sort of cellular or modular construction might be happening in a lot of
imagine Kurt Cobain being like, oh, well, you know what we need here is cell D again. Like, I don't think that.
Yeah.
That
and I'm not even saying that the songwriting team of Levitating is doing that, that the person I'm about to play for you does do that. But
sure.
But it's more just, especially if you're looking for a song that's extremely hooky, that everything is catchy.
Yeah. And this then, is like Levitating right. is extremely hooky.
Just
extremely
rhythmically
catchy.
Even. Moonlight, starlight, sunlight. They're all that rhythm, even that single note with that groove is particularly catchy. Mm. So going back all the way to Motown, even where everything had to be a catchy hook, whether it was an instrumental opening or a verse or a chorus, sometimes small melodic fragments, almost vocal riffs, are a big part of what would make that happen.
Yeah.
So let me give you one more example before we go back to Dua.
And this is someone that, you know, intentionally built the song this way.
So what I can say about this is Philip Glass. So have you heard of Philip Glass?
Yes, I've heard of him.
So Philip Glass is a minimalist composer. We're going to listen to a part of Einstein on the Beach. This is from 1976. This is the segment called Dance One. And there's little melodic and rhythmic cells that go for a little bit. And then another one turns on. And then you go back to the first one. And then you go back to the second one. And then a third cell will appear. And this goes on. This section, we're only going to hear 15 seconds of it or something. But the whole opera is this kind of thing. Endless changing, slightly changing cells. This was deliberately constructed in a cellular way, in a way that wouldn't be true for a pop song. Take a listen.
He was on drugs, right?
I don't know. It was the late 60s or mid 70s when he wrote this.
And where did he live? In New York?
New York City.
Ooh.
I think there is something in common with minimalist and post-minimalist experimental music with
cocaine.
Acid rock, for example, yeah, with
sure.
long jam sessions, and also with EDM.
Yeah.
Modern. I think a lot of the early electronic music was directly inspired by some of this stuff. It almost sounds like electronic music before it was electronic, right? Those are not electronic instruments. There's an electric organ, I guess, would be in there, but not synths, right? It's not sequenced with Pro Tools, but it's also barely an opera, right? I don't think that sounds like what anybody would really call an opera, but that's what he called it. Anyways, so we see this in pop music, but also in experimental, I guess, classical music. So let's move through the rest of this song, and then I'm going to pass it to you, unless you want to talk now. So let's listen to the post-chorus of Levitating. This is a simple scalar melody with a scale, kind of like the verse, but we get these small pieces of it, of course. That's the first one. We'll call that F1, the first F. Here's the second variation of F. So they're sort of similar. It's followed by this, and then this. I'm levitating. Mm. So let's hear that whole post-chorus again. You're going to hear F, F version 2, D, and then C version 2.
It's so catchy. F2 is my favorite so far.
You could fly away with me tonight.
I like that one.
Okay.
That's my
now
favorite.
It has a lot in common with some of the other parts,
it
though.
Does.
That's interesting, right?
That's why it's like comforting to me.
At the end, right? So especially C just keeps popping up. Now, this is a different melody than those sections, but it ends with the tags that we've heard earlier in the song, whether it's the yeah, 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 or the I'm levitating, right? And so it feels a little like a copy paste to me. And that's not, I don't mean that as an insult or anything, as a negative. We talked about this. This is a tool.
Yeah.
And they've constructed the song and it's just so, so catchy because you have a little nugget of something you've heard before recurring throughout it. And it's not like the melody just repeats. It's a new melody, but parts of that melody are familiar from an earlier little cell we heard.
Yeah, so like by the end of the song, you're an expert in the song.
You know every...
You know it
already.
I mean,
there are six little cells and we've heard them all. There's one more, yeah, that I didn't play. That happens later. That's a version of D.
Sure.
But other than that, it's the entire vocal melody. And even as you pointed out, some of the synths in the background are just these six little one or two measure things. And I think part of the consequence of this is something that's so simple, so repetitive in a good way, feels like other things. And so did you know that the songwriting team actually got sued for plagiarism twice? Do you want to hear the one that's closer or the one that's more laughable first?
The one that's laughable first.
Okay, so they were sued by Russell Brown and Sandy Linzer for plagiarism over the song Wiggle and Giggle All Night, performed by Corey Day from 1979. Take a listen.
I was walking down the street when I saw the handsome soldier boy winkle, winkle, winking at me. He said, I'd like to make a date. I said, so sorry, but his lady said, What's the matter, baby? Ain't you free? Ain't you free?
I mean, it's a problematic song from what I'm hearing.
Okay.
But it does sound like levitating.
It like, sounds like this part.
Yeah.
If you want to run away with me, I know a galaxy and I can take you for a ride.
It does.
Rhythmically, it's very similar. It is in major instead. And it's also just a descending line with ducka, 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 16th notes. Like that's been happening for hundreds of years, if not more.
So basic.
So the other one, Live Your Life by Article Sound System from 2017.
That to me sounds more like it because they're using some of the same lyrics too.
Are they actually the same lyrics? I think
there's some words that are the same.
Okay, some words. I think also similar chord progression, similar tempo. Tonally, the other song is so different. This song feels vibe-wise more similar.
Sure.
But again, it's a repeated note with a dotted eighth note. Da 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 da. How would you even really copyright that? Like, maybe we need to have a plagiarism conversation, but both of these were eventually dropped, right? Because I think there wasn't evidence that the songwriters knew either of the songs.
This actually fits really well into what I was hoping to talk with you about today.
Go for it, please.
So, do you ever meet someone in your life that you just think, hey, you know, me and that person, we are similar. We're cut from the same cloth. That's like an idiom that we use, right? I feel like you and I, when we first met, we're like, oh, we're like similar humans, kind of, right? And then you meet people that are so different from you. You think, how can they even exist in the same atmosphere as me?
Yeah, I'm so curious where you're going with this.
So
yeah, definitely.
When we're talking about building blocks and like simple construction leading to complexity, which is what we're referencing in this Dua Lipa song, I keep thinking back to standard personality traits and how we as humans are all made up of different building blocks put together in different sequences with repeated patterns that lead to consistent design. What do you know about personality trait theory?
PTT? Sorry, it's not called PTT?
No, that's not it.
I know nothing about personality trait theory.
Can I tell you everything about it?
You can tell me 70% about
it. Okay, perfect.
And then you'll lose me.
Okay, we'll keep it simple. So there are, according to major theorists, there's something called the Big Five personality traits. We also know them as the OCEAN traits.
OCEAN?
OCEAN is an acronym for openness to new experiences, like how eager you are to try new things and kind of go with the flow. Conscientiousness, which is your attention to detail. Extroversion and introversion, just how likely you are to, you know, when you recharge your social battery, do you want to do that by yourself or do you want to do that with other people? So that's the E in OCEAN. Also, agreeableness, if you kind of go with the flow, if you don't have a hard time adapting. And then what they called at the time neuroticism.
Okay.
We don't say neuroticism anymore because it's really gendered.
Ah.
And also like kind of...
It's a
bloated.
It sounds negative, right?
Yes.
What is it now? What's the end
we
now?
We call it emotional stability.
So the acronym's dead, but
The Akronin's dead, but we're just going to use neuroticism just
to keep
that ocean
trait. So is it that each person has a slider on each of those traits, basically?
Yes, you get a rank. It's not either you're open to new experiences or you're not. You're like 70% open and 30% closed, which is a change from previous personality theories. Like Carl Jung's personality theory coded you is either like on a binary, either you're introverted or extroverted.
Sure.
For example.
All right. Can I self-diagnose?
Yeah.
All right. So openness.
Sure.
I'm lean open, but not strong lean open, mm-hmm. I think. It's openness as opposed to narrow-mindedness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the way I think of it.
I think I am hard C towards conscientious and detail-oriented.
Yes.
I'm editing a podcast later today, everybody.
And I think if between the two of us, that's our major difference. Is I'm much less conscientious than you are.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, yeah. That checks out. I get it. I is next. E? Me is next. Introvert, extrovert. I'm lean extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
A is agreeability. I think I lean not agreeable.
You're not a super agreeable.
I'm not hard anti-agreeable, but I lean. I'm C for crotchety a little bit.
Yeah, I'm much more agreeable than you are.
You're much more A than I am. Yeah. And then not neurosis, but emotional stability. I am lean emotionally unstable.
Really?
I feel like I lean a little neurotic, but that's weird. I feel like if you say the term neurotic, gendered as it might be, and I know you're suggesting that means it's gendered towards women.
Yes.
I feel like I would describe myself as somewhat neurotic, but I wouldn't describe myself as very emotionally unstable.
Mm.
So I think I don't understand the terms well enough.
Yeah. So when we talk about emotional stability and neuroticism, neuroticism would be the opposite of emotional stability, as I understand it.
Okay.
Like emotional stability means like little things are going to go wrong, mm-hmm. and you're not going to freak out about it. And if you were more neurotic, little things would go wrong and you would freak out about it.
That's interesting.
Right.
I don't know. I'm struggling to self-diagnose myself.
Well, you should never. You can just take a big 5 personality assessment online. There's a million of them. It takes like 2 minutes.
I'll let the professionals on the internet diagnose me.
Yes, on the Dr. Google.
Okay, so how does this fit in? So you're talking about these pieces that make us
I'm talking about these building blocks of personality that we're all, according to this, again, this is called the Big 5 personality trait theory.
Shout out to Big 5.
Shout out
Sporting
to Big
Goods
5.
Store from California. They don't have it over here. You don't know Big 5, do you?
No. We have a Big Y.
If anybody needs a good deal on a baseball mitt, go to Big 5
in San
Diego. This
episode is sponsored by Big 5 Sporting Goods in SoCal.
Big 5, if you're listening, we would love you to actually sponsor us.
This is a great ad opportunity
Anyways,
for
okay,
you.
Anyways, okay, the Big
Target
5
audience.
Personality traits. I'm interrupting you a lot.
It's
go
okay.
Ahead.
I don't mind. I like it. So we know that according to this theory, we're all made up of some sequence of these Big 5 personality traits in different combinations and different orders. And those similarities and differences make us consistently human, which I think is really, really cool that we're all just a mixed up combination of these traits. There are other trait theories that took the Big 5 and developed them. Hmm. There's one called the Hexaco model that took the Big 5 and added a 6th trait, H, which is humility and honesty.
Oh.
Because the folks that developed this model said, hey, the ocean traits are fine, but there's no morality in them. And
wait,
where
are humility
morality
and honesty treated as the same? Or are they separate too?
They're treated as like one spectrum, humility / honesty.
Not humility versus honesty.
Mm-mm.
Oh, because I feel like you could be really honest and not very humble.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And when I pitch this to my students, that's always their question. It's like, why did they put them together? Did they just need an H?
Yeah.
But it's a big conversation. Like, how do you define humility? How do you define honesty? Because I feel like I'm very honest and very humble. For me, it does correlate. But then you have a lot of people that it wouldn't.
I think I am very honest, but I think any professional musician would be deluding themselves if they said they were extremely humble.
Sure.
I think there's something about, hey, everybody, please watch me on stage, that as insecure as you might be, myself included, there is something bordering on arrogance or...
I think narcissism's the word
you're
looking for. Narcissism's
a little harsh, but I don't think honesty and humility go together at all. I mean, they are both virtues. And so like a person who's really a good person might have both of those traits. But I think you can be really honest and be brutally honest and have no humility at all, right?
Well, in that case, you're not being brutally honest with yourself. And I think that that's the argument.
Interesting.
That honesty would lead to humbleness, because if you were honest with yourself as a human, you know that, yes, even though you are a great musician, you still have flaws.
Sure.
And that's where the honesty comes in, that humbling piece.
I feel like they really wanted to be hexaco and not octaco or what? Not heptico or septico, because that would be seven, right? They could have just had two. So the point being, though, not to make your point for you, but it sounds like this is not universally agreed upon. It's that there are different models people look at for these building blocks.
Yes, for sure. So you have the big five, which is the ocean traits. And then later, the hexaco theory of personality. You also have a huge school of thought that's strictly biological trait theory, which the ocean traits fall into biological trait theory, which is more of an umbrella term that our personality is inherited, that we are more based on nature than nurture, and not just because of any outstanding epigenetic influences, which is a whole other conversation. And then also the OG personality theory would be Carl Jung's theories of personality that later turned into what we know as the MBTI personality assessment.
Have you ever talked about that, I think.
Yeah. And when you pitched the idea of this Dua Lipa song and said what you plan to reference, this is the first thing I thought of. It's like we are all made up of different combinations of the same repeating pattern. And I think it's really fascinating when you do meet other people in the wild that you think, hey, like that person, we're cut from the same cloth. We're made up of the same parts. And it reminds me that we are all more alike than we are different, even if we came up from different backgrounds or lived in different places or had different family structures. We all can code a certain way based on these models. And I like love that about humans.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think the number of block types you have gives you a different level of detail in the sense that the more melodic cells a song would have, the more complex it is, right? Mm-hmm. If you... This song is six different ones that I identified. And if there were 10, then the song wouldn't have as much repetition. But if there were three, maybe it would have too much repetition.
Yeah.
So like there's a sweet spot to where you feel like you can kind of get a grasp for someone's personality. Similarly, I feel like you as a songwriter could target the amount of material as being too much or too little. And I think, interestingly enough, I would assume that Dua, Kaz, Clarence, and Sarah are all different types of people. They have different personalities. They are all together in a room, presumably, making decisions about this song. And each of their personalities plays into the decisions for what these cells would be. So it's like a very kind of complicated process that would be different if it were just Dua Lipa writing it herself, for example.
Yeah. And when we were listening to the song, I had said, you hear it once and you feel like you already know it. Like you can almost predict what's going to happen next.
Sure.
You feel familiar with it in some way because it's approachable enough that you can get your head around these different motifs and make predictions about what's going to come next. And the idea behind personality theory and psychology is that's what we're trying to do, is trying to figure out what your personality is so I can predict what you're going to do next. I know if I put you in a room that it's really messy and there's lots of noises and there's unorganized spreadsheets everywhere and the color coding system's off, you're not going to be comfortable in that space.
I'm going to start fixing the Excel spreadsheet.
Because I know your personality. I know that that's what you're like. And I know that if one of us has to go on stage and talk in front of people, it's going to be you because your personality lends itself to that type of behavior. And that's a cool intersection between these concepts, is we can predict what Dua Lipa is going to do next. We can predict what we're going to do next because we've learned the building blocks.
Cool.
I think of the song Levitating and I wonder, like, if given the option, would you want to be able to levitate?
Just float?
Just float.
Given the option, of course I would, but it's also kind of dumb.
It's super dumb.
Touche, Nicole. No, but like, it's not... I want to say, yeah, of course, right? Why would I deny a skill? But how would that change my life? Would it cause me to do anything that I couldn't normally do? Or would it cause my muscles to just atrophy because I would be lazily floating everywhere, right? I'm sure it would be good for the knees to not have to hit the pavement all the time. But yeah, of course I would take it. But I don't know, would I regret it?
I'd regret it. Didn't you ever see Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? With the fizzy lifting drink? They almost went right up into that fan, bro.
Well, so that's If we're talking, you can't control it. Yeah, that would be bad. If you just keep going,
I'd be really anxious, and I'd be really anxious that I'd float away.
Right.
I don't want to levitate. I like my feet on the ground. Thank you very much. I would never like skydive or bungee jump.
Well,
I think
those are the opposite of levitating. But yeah, you like the security of the earth below.
I like
you.
The comfort of gravity.
Right. Sure. If we were going to build a personality set, let's say four cells, the four cells that would make up podcaster personality traits, the a duality, right? What would we get? We've got how fast you talk.
Sure.
That's sort of
banter.
Okay. So what about banter?
Having good banter, having like the gift of gab.
Well, I think we could also say like funniness, right? Bantery, casualness, maybe?
A witty repartee.
Okay. So I think even different hosts, it's not just the podcast, it's the people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how fast you talk, how sort of witty you are.
Yeah.
What else we got?
Quick-wittedness.
How prepared you are.
Sure.
And what will be the fourth one?
Your ad revenue.
Right. Yes.
Right.
That's right. So I've got the first three and not the fourth.
No, I'm only here for the fourth.
Okay, Nicole, let's read the outro credits. I'm going to go first, then you. Go as fast as you can, okay? Nevermind the Music is hosted by me, Mark Papany, and Nicole Vacher. I also produce. Please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating and a review. Let us know what you think on social media. We're at Never Music Pod on all the major platforms. You can also send us an email at nevermusicpod@gmail.com. Every so often, we'll do a mailbag episode where we'll answer all your burning questions. Thanks for listening. Go!
Nevermind the Music is hosted by me, Nicole Vacher, and Mark Papany, who also produces. Please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating and review. Let us know what you think on social media. We're Never Music Pod on all major platforms. You can also send us an email at nevermusicpod@gmail.com. Every so often, we'll do a mailbag episode when we answer all your burning questions. Thanks for listening.
Boom.
Lord Vader, Operation Andor is underway.
Excellent. If we release 3 episodes per week, the Lorehounds will never be able to cover every episode. The Imperial forces will crush the rebellion before it begins.
Stand by. We're picking up something on our scanners.
Echo Squadron, reporting in.
Delta Squadron, on your left.
Django Squadron, on your 6.
With Imperial forces coming in fast, we're calling all Rebels to join the fight this season. Starting after the April 22nd premiere, you'll hear 3 full breakdowns for each week's episodes of Andor Season 2. Each podcast will be led by one of our squadron leaders, Alicia, David, and John. We'll be bringing in new and familiar voices to fill out the roster. Search for the Lorehounds on any podcast platform to join us in a galaxy far, far away. And don't forget to check out our season pass for even more content like our Holocron bonus pods. It's good news for anyone, except Darth Vader.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.